Good afternoon, everyone. I know I don't sound like I'm from Los Angeles, but really. So Los Angeles County, very like New York, it has 12 STD clinics. They're free, walk-in, available to everyone. You don't need to show citizenship. You don't need to show any financial information. They're open 5 days a week. We see about 46,000 patient visits per year. About 55% of those are new patient visits. So I'm going to describe a pilot just in one of these clinics. The challenges with our clinics is that we only have one doctor in each clinic, except one of them, and that doctor sees every single new patient, regardless of their reason to come to clinic. There's a cap on the number of new patients that we see, and if the cap is reached, patients may get turned away. The clinic visits tend to be lengthy, with multiple stations. The patient has to go in and out from the waiting room to register, to waiting room to see the nurse, the waiting room to see the doctor, etc. So it's not a very patient-friendly experience. Clinics may be cancelled if there's no provider that day, if the provider's sick, and we do have difficulty recruiting providers for some of our clinics. So our question was, how can we increase patient access to our clinics with no additional resources, because we have no money? So we wanted to try screening visits. The first question to consider before we even wanted to implement the screening visit was how many patients even present for checkup only. So we did a chart review looking at 14 months of patient visits, 26,000 visits in our 12 clinics, and we looked at patients who we thought would be eligible for a checkup only, and we defined that as being people who had no symptoms, were not a contact to someone with an STD, and were not referred to clinic by a health professional like a physician or a PHI, public health investigator. And when we looked in our pilot clinic, that number was actually 29%. So there was clearly enough of a potential demand to make this worthwhile. Our second concern was, what diagnoses would we miss without doing a provider exam? So again, in the same population, we looked at women who tested negative for chlamydia and gonorrhea who were asymptomatic. And we found that nearly 4% of them overall had been found to have trichomonas. But in our pilot clinic, it was less than 0.5%. And PID, obviously rates were much lower and was zero in our pilot clinic. Also reassuringly, when we looked at asymptomatic men and women for primary or secondary syphilis, we didn't find any cases at all. So with that information, we were confident to move ahead to a pilot. Our objectives were to increase access to the clinic and to expedite the clinic visit for patients who present for screening. And unlike express or fast track visits in some other cities, we wanted to include MSM because we want to encourage them to get regular checkups, and we need to make the service patient friendly in order to encourage them to do that. And we also decided to use a self-administered questionnaire for patient triage. So this is our pilot clinic, has about 6,000 patient visits a year, a large MSM population, and the clinic reported a growing number of patients asking for screening because they needed to be in and out quickly, because they had to get back to work, because of school, and also this clinic has a male provider, and some women were reluctant to have an examination. So we started in May 2008. Asymptomatic patients were eligible for screening, as I said, unless they were referred into the clinic or were a contact to someone with an STD or someone with symptoms. Our evaluation included patient satisfaction survey, flow analysis, testing volume, and assessments of morbidity. I should say that during this pilot, we didn't add any staff and we didn't promote the clinic in any way at all. So this is an example of the questionnaire that patients filled in. The clerk gave them the questionnaire when they registered. It was in English and Spanish, and they filled it in, handed it back. The clerk reviewed it and made a decision as to how to route the patient, which member of staff they needed to see, and which intake form to use. And we use, I'm sure you can't read it clearly, but we use very simple language. You know, do you have any unusual symptoms, discharge, drip or fluid, odor slash smell, you know, from your vagina, anus, butt? You know, we use really layman's language to try and make it as understandable as possible. If someone checked all the boxes that they were eligible for screening, they first saw a nurse who reviewed the questionnaire, offered them blood testing for syphilis and HIV, a urine test for gonorrhea and chlamydia, and if indicated, self-collected rectal swab for gonorrhea and chlamydia and a nurse-collected pharyngeal swab for gonorrhea. They were able to continue a series of hepatitis vaccine, but if they wanted to start a series of vaccine, they were asked to see the provider. They could get condoms and they could arrange to pick up their results by phone. So these are the results. We found that 21% of patients who accessed the clinic were eligible, self-identified as being suitable for a screening visit. And in this pilot clinic, remember, 29% of patients in the pre-analysis were suitable for checkup only. What was good was only 2% of patients checked all the boxes to say they'd be eligible for the screening clinic, but when they saw the nurse, turned out to need to see the doctor. And the commonest reason for that was that they actually did have symptoms, but they didn't check it on the box. Another reason was wanting to ask the doctor a question. When we look at the characteristics of the patients attending, on the left we have the screening visit population, and on the right, by comparison, we have all new visits to the clinic. So that does actually also include the screening population. You can see about 3/4 of both populations are male, but the big difference was the MSM. Of the screening visit patients, 12% were MSM, compared to 23% in all new visits. So this shows that we were reaching the people who are at lower risk in the screening clinic, which is what we wanted. When we look at morbidity, my slide changes didn't upload either, so there's an error here, and we found that the morbidity was much lower in the patients having a screening visit than all new visit patients, which you'd expect. These people are asymptomatic and they're not contacts to people with STDs. So the rate of chlamydia for all sites was 2% and gonorrhea was 0.5%, compared to 9% and 4% in all comers to the clinic. We had no cases of HIV and one case of early latent syphilis. So overall, this number should actually be 2.7% of patients attending the screening clinic had any STD, compared to 13% of all new visits. Here, this is a little misleading. There was only 25 people did a rectal swab, and of those, we have one MSM who was positive, and only 38 people did a throat swab, and two of those were positive. The number of new patients we were able to see went up by 31%, from an average of 6 patients per session before we implemented Fast Track to 8 per session after Fast Track. And this really surprised me. I thought the patients that wanted to be screened would want a quick, convenient visit and to call in for their results. But actually, half of them chose to return to clinic to get their results. And I think the main reason for that was they wanted to get a copy of their results, I guess, to show their partner. And they could only get that by coming to the clinic in person. Showing you the results of the flow analysis, these are the number of patients included, and this is the time that they spent in clinic before Fast Track was implemented and then afterwards. And you'll see the overall time in clinic was reduced for all patients by 15 minutes, from 1 hour and 3 minutes to 48 minutes. But it was particularly marked for people who were new patients and those who had a screening visit. Obviously, we didn't have screening visits here, so we said these were theoretically screening visit patients. If we'd had the service, they were asymptomatic, they would have been eligible. So you'll see that the visit time for them was reduced from 1 hour and 22 minutes to 44 minutes. Obviously, the numbers are very small, but it showed that the clinic visit was faster for everyone, not just for the screening visit patients. And it was a combination of less waiting time and also slightly less contact time face-to-face with each provider. So it was quicker for the nurse to do a fast-track visit than it was for them to do the intake interview before the patient saw the doctor. Looking at the satisfaction survey, again, very low numbers, response rate of under half. And unfortunately, for the pre-fast-track analysis, we didn't identify who would have been a screening clinic patient, which is a real limitation. But we carried this out for a month before and after the screening clinic. And we found that for all variables, patients rated the clinic as being very good or excellent, and there were no significant differences pre-fast-track compared to post-fast-track, except for duration of visit. The overall satisfaction with how long the visit lasted was lower, and it did improve significantly after we implemented Fast Track. Then when we compare after Fast Track was implemented, looking at the people who had the screening visit in light blue compared to the people who had a regular visit who saw the doctor in purple, you'll find that satisfaction was overall the same or greater for people that had the screening visit. Again, it's a no-brainer. People who come to the clinic feeling well for a checkup are probably going to be happier people than those who come dripping or itching or burning or whatever. But there was a concern before we did this that patients expected to see a doctor, they expected to get examined, and they may not feel satisfied if they left having just peed in a cup and had blood draw, and obviously seen the nurse. And this was certainly not borne out by this. Satisfaction was significantly higher for some of the variables. I felt the provider kept my information private, I could ask questions, the provider's ability to communicate, and the overall satisfaction was higher in people who only saw the nurse compared to the ones that had the full regular visit. So in summary, doing a screening clinic for us was feasible. There were very few conversions, that is a patient who identified as being suitable for fast track, who was then found to have symptoms and needed to see the doctor. The time in clinic overall was shorter for everyone, but particularly in those having the screening visit. The morbidity in the screening visit patients was lower, so we were reaching the lower risk people with the screening service. And we increased the number of new patients we could see overall by 31% without compromising patient satisfaction. There were other benefits too. Just meeting to plan this whole thing got staff talking to each other. And so that led to an improvement in clinic flow and function, which may also have led to the increase in patient numbers seen. And we were able to eliminate redundant operations and make visits for everyone less fragmented. Because the patient interview asked, have you been referred into clinic, or are you a contact of someone with symptoms or with an STD, those patients were routed to the public health investigator, or DAS, who did the intake interview and did the contact interview. So that streamlined that person's service as well. And we also had some complex return patients would go straight to the doctor instead of seeing the nurse. So there were other benefits as well. We now have standing orders, so labs can be done before or after the patient sees the doctor, which just increases flexibility when bottlenecks move around in different days in the clinic. Having nurse-collected throat swabs also helps with flexibility, and patients can now collect their own rectal swab if they prefer to do so. I think the keys to success were having rectal and throat swabs available, because we certainly couldn't have done offered screening visits to MSM without rectal and throat swabs. Having patients do their own triage really reduced a step. We're trying to make this process more patient-friendly, more efficient. So if we'd had everyone go through a triage step with a professional, we'd have been adding a step, not taking it away. The fact that all our nurses could do the screening visit meant that if a patient came through as a screening visit and then they found they actually had symptoms and needed to see the doctor, all the nurse did was grab the intake form and continue to see that patient. They didn't have to go back in the waiting room to see somebody else. And that was good because it also kept the order of, we saw patients in order that they came to clinic, so people couldn't check that they were screening only in hopes of getting seen faster. They were just seen in exactly the same order. So it's more patient-friendly and it saved a step. And I think another key to success was the staff were flexible. They worked really well together. This was a clinic that hadn't actually met as a team for 2 years before we did this. And so this really helped them work together, and they were willing to take on new tasks and to change the status quo in the clinic. Limitations, obviously the numbers are very small, especially for the survey and the flow analysis. We were not able to identify who would have been a checkup patient in the pre-survey for satisfaction. And we can't really evaluate the full potential of this because we didn't advertise the clinic in any way. We didn't even put up a poster. I mean, there was nothing. And so we don't know how much we could expand this if we did advertise. And also, we may not be able to generalize these findings to other clinic populations. If a clinic has a very low rate of patient coming in who's asymptomatic, it may not be worth it. A clinic with a high rate of trick, this may not be suitable, although that would become irrelevant once we've got a NAT test for trick that we can do at the same time as our urine, chlamydia, or gonorrhea, or self-collected swab. Screening could be limited by the availability of staff. We're taking away time with the doctor, but if our nurses become busy, that could just create a bottleneck with the nurses or with the clerk. And when I presented this information to some of our doctors, some of them felt quite threatened by it. They felt their role was being taken over by NAT tests and by nurses. And so it's important to point out that this isn't a solution for cutting clinical staff in resource-poor times. This service for us really should complement the existing services, not substitute them. It should enable more time for the provider to see the complicated cases and to enable the clinic to screen more patients and find more disease. So I'd like to thank my colleagues in the public health department, particularly the people who actually work in the clinics who do all this work. Thank you.
For a question, go ahead.
The HIV testing that you offer in the clinic, do you use rapid or conventional testing?
No, everyone is offered conventional testing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your nurses do all the phlebotomy as well?
Yes, they sometimes there's a nurse or community worker who's assigned to the lab who takes the blood, but if she's not available, then the nurses will do it. So it varies according to staffing levels. Yeah, sorry, I'm not repeating the question.
Any plan to expand to the other clinics?
So the question was, I've remembered now, is there any plan to expand to other clinics? Yes, we're hoping to start very soon in one of our clinics in the north of the county that's only open one day a week. But in that situation, it probably won't be that anyone who comes to the clinic can choose to have a screening service. It will probably be a separate new session that's just for screening because that clinic's already at capacity.
What's the cap on the number of patients with doctors a day?
The cap on the number of patients varies in our clinics according to how many hours it's open, but it's usually around 12. So they're not actually reaching capacity a lot of the time. But numbers vary enormously. The average is 8, but some days they might see 16, other days they might see 5. We all know in a walk-in clinic you have no control over how many people show up that day. I should say that the number of of screening patients we saw each session varied enormously. Some sessions there'd be none, and other sessions there might be 6 or 7 people who want a screening visit. So it's really random. Yeah.
So you have a model beforehand in which all patients saw the nurse or the doctor?
So the question is, did we have a model beforehand that where all the patients saw a nurse before the doctor? Yes, it was a very fragmented visit. All our patients have an intake interview with either a nurse or with a public health investigator who's like a DIS. And so now we have the triage, we can direct all the people who are contacts of someone with an STD to the PHI to have their interview. And then all the people who are symptomatic will see the nurse.
So the PHI was a new addition?
No, they always had an intake interview by either a PHI or a nurse, but now we're smarter about who sees which. So it makes sense for the people who are contacts to see the PHI because they already have to do the contact work.
One more.
Yeah, one more, Chris, yeah.
Did you ever limit the symptoms that you were able to, or that you would screen, for instance, ligation or sore?
So the question was, do we ever limit the nature of the symptoms? No, if people had any symptoms, they were not eligible for the fast track visit.
We can take one more question, okay. Then we got to wrap up.
Okay. Sally. Yes.
I'm just assuming that these were not nurse practitioners, right?
They're registered nurses and LVNs, licensed vocational nurses. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Excellent. All right. Nice job.